Expanded Universe Special Edition, Leviathor Ragnarok. The book, The Glove of Darth Vader, by Paul and Hollis Davids. The year, 1992, with your hosts, Jeff and John. Hey ho, let's go.
Welcome back to Expounded Universe, the Star Wars novel discussion podcast, and so on. I'm your host, Jeff, joined as always by your host, John. Hi, John. How are you?
Hey. It's a little, it's getting to be a little warm. It's starting to get warm.
Yeah, you know, normally I would be inviting you over to bask in the relative coolness of my somewhat more seaside adjacent home.
Yeah.
The nice thing about. I can't.
The nice thing about. You know, the whole recording remotely is I can just sit around in my underwear and record this and it's fine. Unlike when I sit around in my underwear at your place and it's not fine.
I was going to say, I wouldn't give a shit. You can do what you want.
Yeah, there's a big sign on your door that just says, do what thou wilt.
I mean, the only thing you got to watch out for is sudden barging entrances from my girlfriend or daughter. And I mean, I'm literally in my underwear right now. They're not going to give a shit. They're used to it.
They're like, eh, another fat guy in boxers. No one cares. Add it to the pile.
That's just like the scandal pool in Washington, D.C. What do you got for me? Well, sir, we got another fat guy in boxers.
Eh, no one cares.
We got Dotson here.
Ooh, run it.
Shit, we got Dotson and he's trying to buy dinosaur embryos.
That's news.
That is news of the day. Stop the presses.
Oh wait, don't stop the presses.
No, I mean you gotta stop the presses so you can start the presses again. It's just so that you don't, you know, run too many presses of things that aren't Dotson. We got Dotson here.
We got so many presses.
Okay, so we're going to go ahead and finish up our special edition today. We decided to read a book for kids, 7 chapters of not even young adult, but literally just 4 kids fiction in The Glove of Darth Vader.
Yeah, and this is basically book 1 of 6 of this story, and boy howdy is this 1/6 of a book.
Yeah. It just kind of ends right where it starts. The ending feels a lot like the ending to like an episode of Inspector Gadget or something like that.
Okay.
I mean, you don't feel that where I don't really get into the ending yet, but the ending is so abrupt and silly and features like really good art of Hissa and Trioculus, like smiling as their ship flies away.
I mean, I would definitely put it as something slightly more episodic. Because it's going to continue the same, you know, thread.
Yeah, no, I can definitely see that. Episodic is a good way to put it. You know, I'm looking at my copy of the cover. I don't know if our 2 books, they're different books. I don't know if they have the same art.
Oh, I assume they do.
Okay. Trioculus is also on the cover of your book, right?
Yeah.
And in that picture, does he look, like, creepily like he's played by Andrew Scott?
No.
Do you know who Andrew Scott is off the top of your head?
No, but in my head.
Okay, then.
No.
Then you're just not knowing. Moriarty and or Hot Priest from Fleabag.
Maybe.
I mean, come on. Other people are going to look and bear me out on this one, but yeah.
I mean, for me, he kind of looks like a young Lorenzo Lamas.
Oh, I could see that too, I guess, except that I have no mental capacity for the concept of a young Lorenzo Lamas. To me, he's just some sort of a mummy that wears yellow sunglasses and still gets work. He's like in a modern-day Elmer McCurdy. Okay, so we start with the escape of 3PO and R2 and Luke hot in pursuit. Remember how the last chapter ended with them going, oh no, probe droids!
Well, I mean, this one...
Well, that didn't matter.
I mean, this one technically starts with more probe droids. It's just like, hey... Did you know probe droids are out in the universe?
Yeah.
They're looking at stuff.
Yeah, they're all over the place, finding all kinds of stuff that's not the glove of Darth Vader.
Yeah, boy howdy. They found a bomb and a piece of garbage and a guy who is trying to steal a truck.
And a droid hand floating in a cloud of hydrogen.
And a big farty bounty hunter.
Yeah, yeah, they definitely found that. And they also found, I don't know, like a shark with a license plate in its stomach.
Hell yeah, they did.
They found Geronimo's rifle and Marilyn's shampoo.
And they found Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Okay, they don't find much. But notably, several probe droids even noticed a missing Imperial command shuttle. Why, it's number 714B. They didn't catch it or anything, but they definitely noticed it. And we're like, oh yeah, that's because that's the stolen shuttle.
Yeah. They're like, oh no, probe droids from the last chapter. And then this one, they're like, oh hey, look at that. Nothing happened.
They did nothing. This book has a really fun tradition of setting up big cliffhanger endings to the chapters and then just dispensing with them out of hand at the beginning of the next chapter.
Oh, yeah. I mean, by the time they've done this twice, you're like, yeah, I don't care. Whatever this cliffhanger is, I know the second I turn the page, it's going to be like, but whatever. Anyway.
Well, this chapter won't end on a cliffhanger. Instead, this is chapter 4 we're kicking into. And this one, you remember how the last chapter took a weird turn and for some reason was heavily about whale meat?
Well, the rest of the book is.
Yeah, the whole rest of the book is about whale meat.
Boy, howdy. Did they really go all in on the whale thing?
So before the whale meat stuff happens, first we get the little note about how the probe droids didn't actually catch Luke's shuttle. Then we get some stuff about Trioculus being so mad that he goes hunting.
Yeah, he hunts for giant fefzy beetles.
Yeah, you know, fefzies. Little big giant fefzy beetles.
Little big giant small fefzy beetles.
Mm-hmm. Little big planet of fefzy beetles that he heads out to and hunts them. He kills 3 whole fefzy beetles, and Grand Moff Hissa congratulated him enthusiastically.
Hey, good job, buddy. Oh, but Trioculus wants a bigger kill.
Yeah, he wants to go to the ammonia-filled jungles of somewhere or other to hunt star dragons.
You know...
Okay, star dragons are space dragons. We've gone over this.
Hey, look, now that we've been doing this for a while and have done a shitload of our bonus content where we go to Wikipedia and find nonsense from Star Wars, $2 level, patreon.com/systemmastery, we've covered star dragons. We know what
Smash
star dragons
like
are.
Yeah, we know exactly what they are. They come in 2 varieties. There's the big bug leg ones, and then which there's only one of. And then there's the ones that are absolutely enormous and live out in space and have names like Radical Dreamer and shit. And neither of them lives on the ammonia-filled jungles of planet Kona. Then again, I think just like most of this book, they're just... writing whatever. There's no research here. There's no connection to the grand scheme.
No, I feel like whoever was writing this was probably just like, oh, this isn't gonna, like, there's no such thing as a canon. No one's gonna read this and be like, oh, this is definitely what happened. This is just a fun story I'm telling. But they did not understand what Star Wars fans are like.
And, you know, at the time that they did it, it's okay that they had no idea what was going on. It's just kind of funny how many things they hit on that become things in Star Wars further down the line.
Well, yeah, because, I mean, pretty much anything you put into a book, again, a thing we've learned from doing this show now, is if you try to offhand some dumb shit in this, oh, somebody's picking that up. There are very few times when you're like, oh yeah, I made up an entire thing and it just doesn't go anywhere.
As we learned from, what was his name, Ul Rashan in the most recent full season, where he was just some lizard-looking guy who was like a good gunslinger, and then people picked it up and ran with it to the point where his planet is a planet of foppishly dressed velociraptor gadabouts who have similar names to him. You didn't pick up any of that from the description of Ul Rashan in the book that he is introduced in. He's just some sort of mean alien who likes to shoot people.
Yeah.
But it spins into this whole tale of the time that Vader came to his planet and was nice to his people, and they all dressed in extravagant finery and talked like velociraptors.
Yes, but for Vader it was a Tuesday.
Yeah, in this case, the Star Dragon thing is just a one-off line that... to us, anyway, because we spend so much time scouring Wikipedia, it's like, hey, you haven't earned what star dragons have earned.
Yeah, it's getting to the point where I'm uncomfortably familiar with weird shit in Star Wars.
Okay, so anyway, Hissa is hanging out with him as he makes his plans to go hunt dragons, and Trioculus asks him pretty much point blank, how many people have accepted my claim as the rights of the Emperor? And Hissa has to be like, oh, there's a couple of, I mean, there's talk amongst stormtroopers that you might not really be the guy.
Yeah, I mean, it honestly feels like Trioculus just turns to Hissa and is like, hey, can you give me just a reason to be angry? Just something.
And Hissa's like, yes, absolutely. That's what I'm here for.
Duh.
Some stormtroopers have been heard to complain. And he's just like, I want their names. I want their individual names that I might punish them.
Yeah, great. Sure, I'll get on that. And by that, I mean,
not worth your time.
I'll go ahead and tell you I am, and then eventually you'll get distracted by what other dumb villain bullshit you want to get up to.
Now let me go hunt dragons.
Sure, buddy.
Fine, I'll just call ahead and have them inflate some big rubber dragons. Okay, this is where we find out that the probe droid found the closest thing they had found to Vader's glove yet, which was a droid hand floating in a cloud, and... Trioculus has to be like, speak not to me of droid hands.
Yeah. Oh, God, Trioculus, what the fuck is your deal?
I mean, he's just a cartoon bad guy. He kind of comes off a little Trumpy in multiple ways.
In that he can do stupid things.
First of all, in that he could do stupid things, and he both hunts and eats little winged potatoes.
Yeah, he loves food, eating, the theater.
Also, most of his governance style is determining that people don't like him and then creating personal vendettas against them.
At this point, we get a message for Lord Trioculus from Captain Dunwell.
Yeah, now, we should note that already in this chapter, because we're hanging out in Trioculus' headquarters, big plates of Whaledon meat have again been discussed.
Well, yeah,
but Captain Dunwell,
that Whaledon meat.
Gotta get that juicy shack meat. I mean, Whaledon meat. He doesn't want to be disturbed by anyone while he watches Captain Dunwell's secret report.
Which is weird, because, I mean, Captain Dunwell, we find out, is just some whaler on Mon Cala. Yeah, he's a whaler.
Some whaler
on the moon.
He carries a harpoon.
But there ain't no Whaledons.
So he sings Tall Taledons. Anyway, yeah, he's just some fucking guy who's running the whaling facility on Mon Cal.
Yeah, you'd think that instead of being like, see that no one disturbs me while I find what Captain Dunwell has to say, he'd just be like, cool, I'm sure this is about whatever my next order of big juicy whale meat is, and I'll just take a look at it right here.
I want some more of my fine Dunwell steaks.
I've got a subscription.
Yes, they cost $65 for two. That's how you know their quality.
And of course, Captain Dunwell, the message pops up, and he has to start with some dark greetings.
Yeah, he starts with the most darkest of greetings to you, my lord.
Dark greetings, Lord Trioculus. That's not ridiculous at all.
It's fun to talk like obvious bad guys.
Anyway, I've been down here doing whale murder, and I found something. Anyway, I'm not going to tell you what it is. Come over here.
Yeah, it's hilarious. And also, the art of this guy is amazing. He looks like an old-timey sea captain. They really leaned into it.
Oh, yeah. This guy is definitely hanging out with Tintin at some point.
I mean, he's got a rum nose and one of those all-the-way-around big U-shaped Lincoln beards.
Oh, yeah. No mustache, just the chin beard. He's got the floppy captain hat.
Yeah, he's got a floppy old topper. He's got an old hat. He's got every one of the jokes about hats that we have made.
I mean, also, it's if we're talking about fashion here, fucking Trioculus is, he's got shoulder pads with those anti-pigeon spikes on them.
Yeah, apparently there's a real problem with Trioculus having homeless people sleep on his shoulders.
Yeah. He's like, oh, no, I got to put spikes on here. I got tiny homeless people keep trying to sleep on my shoulders.
Hissa, another gang of skateboarders did lip tricks off my shoulders. I need you to put in some anti-skateboarding technology.
Every time I see a bad guy with the weird spike shoulder pads, I'm always just like, God, you have to wear that for maybe a day before you have stabbed yourself in the neck several times and go, oh yeah, no, this is dumb. I'm sorry.
I feel like Spin's original plan to get rid of Trioculus was just to get into proximity of him and start playing YMCA. Until he just stabs himself in the neck with his shoulder murderers.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that or they just start playing What Is Love?
Or a House of Pain song. I mean, you got a variety of options that exhort people to lift their hands into the air.
Anyway.
Okay. Yeah. Let's keep moving. Spike shoulder pads aside.
We cut to the oceans of Calamari with our new introduced character, Leviathor.
Yeah, Leviathor is a very minor character, but a fascinating one. He's the largest whale of all the whalodons.
And he's the leader.
He's their leader, and he's albino, so you know he's kind of a some sort of a Moby Dick.
He's a white whalodon. He's definitely something that Captain Dunwell is chased after.
Yeah, he's not just a white whalodon. He's the white whalodon.
Oh, yes.
He has been the terror of Space Nantucket for lo unto many decades.
Now, he's swimming around and is just sort of sad because there are a bunch of dead whalodons. There's a whalodon graveyard with all the bones, which is... I get that you're doing sort of a like an elephant graveyard thing, but it's like that's where the processing plant is also depositing the dead. Like, they figured out that's where whalodons put their skeletons and then went, well, I mean, I know we're capturing them and murdering them for their sweet, delicious, juicy meat, but we should probably...
How about a tasteful burial?
We should be respectful of their burial process.
Yeah, I feel like they just kind of got their wires crossed on this one, because, yeah, they obviously did an elephant graveyard thing and then mixed it with the Imperials are just dumping whale bones out here, too.
Yeah, it's
and
a
I'm
strange
like, oh,
idea.
Are you telling me that... You're telling me that whale meat's currently in vogue and no one in the Empire is wearing whalebone corsets and shit? I have a hard time believing that.
Oh, yeah. I mean...
How come Stormtrooper Scrimshaw hasn't taken off yet?
You gotta use every part of the whalodon.
Yeah, I mean, you're just being wasteful. I'm sure they light those little red lights inside of each one of the cockpits of a TIE fighter with whale oil now.
I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. I've heard that burning whalodon oil makes you stronger. But no, apparently they're just taking them skeletons, you know, the ones that aren't already hanging in the ballrooms of museums, and just dumping them out the side of their processing center. And that makes Leviathor sad.
Yeah, there will never again be these aged whalodons teaching their songs and tales to the young. So this is essentially where we find out that whalodons aren't just, like, big creatures. They are actually sentient and have a culture.
Uh-huh. Yeah, they have a whole culture, although they're not, they have no tool using or anything like that. They're just whales that just are very smart. They're basically the way that people on Earth who love whales a very great deal think whales actually might be and are not. I mean, whales ultimately are just giant processing centers for plankton.
Yeah. And, I mean, they also are in this book. It's just they, you know, have a society and a whale joker.
They live in a society of whales.
There are
now,
these whale
on
gamers.
Earth, of course, we know better. We know that on Earth there is no society whatsoever in whales. It's just people eating, like, sheep meat and big buckets of snails and stuff.
Big buckets of snails and stuff. In fact, my favorite restaurant in Wales is Snails and Stuff. It comes in a bucket. That's their tagline.
It is very close to true. The only thing we're missing is description of lava bread. Okay, so we cut back to the Imperial stolen speeder thingy, 714D, and it's Luke and Admiral Ackbar that are in there along with the droids.
Yep.
And they're like, we have to go to Mon Calamari, Luke. We have to give this information really quickly to the Rebel Alliance, but the fastest way to do that is to go to Mon Cal.
Well, yeah, because if we try to go to Yavin 4, then the Imperials will spot us. Never mind that later in this book, we just go to Yavin 4 and there is no problem with it. But the things are happening on Mon Cal and we gotta go there.
But Mon Mothma and Princess Leia are waiting for that information now, says Luke. customary to people who like Luke from the first movie.
Yep.
So they're going to wait on Calamari and then send a cargo cruiser with the coded data. And 3PO, of course, is only concerned with, do you think there'll be facilities on Mon Cal that can turn me back into my prissy golden self?
Yes. Can they turn me back into the old me?
Yeah. Notably, the first description of Mon Cal, we get a message from Aquarius Station for Trioculus, but Luke and Ackbar are headed for Pisces Station, a different station on Mon Cal, which apparently all of them are just named after the somewhat aquatic factions of the Zodiac.
Yes. I'm sure that there is definitely Cancer Base out there somewhere. They just didn't want to name it that on the book because they were like, ooh, you know?
Welcome to Cancer Station. How's the health condition? Oh, it's just fine. I mean,
we're all a little crabby here.
We all like that joke here. Or we get sent to the only other one that kind of fits, Sagittarius Station. Because Sagittarius, I believe, is the water bearer. Is that right?
I don't know. I thought Sagittarius was like a goat or some shit.
Yeah, it's like a centaur goat with a bow and arrow. But I think it's also supposed to be the the water bearer. I mean, don't look at me. I'm a Sagittarius. I just don't give a shit.
Well, yeah, no. Why would I? Why would you?
Plus, I'm not even a Sagittarius. I'm an Ophiuchus, the cool one. The cool secret one for astrologers in the know.
The cool secret sign for cool people.
Yeah, I had to put in the Konami code to get that cool sign for myself.
I pre-ordered my Zodiac, so I got the cool one.
Pre-order your birth date from GameStop.
That's right. I got my GameStop-only DLC Zodiac sign.
It's Ophiuchus, the rad snake bearer. It also came with an assault rifle skin. Ooh. Okay, so... So they're going to go fly to Pisces Station, and right now they have no idea that they're about to get embroiled in more Imperial shenanigans.
Yes, but they head for the domed city of Aquarius, where water breathers and air breathers stand side by side in harmony, and it's the only fully underwater city on Calamari.
Yeah, it's basically a big bubble, and it's rocky on the bottom and airy on the top, and the people who like to live in water live down in the rock part.
Yep, like lobsters.
It says they live side by side, but they actually live above below, giving you a strong metaphoric example of how air breathers are just way better than water breathers.
I mean, it's true.
I mean, obviously.
They're just so high above them.
Yeah. I mean, learn to smelt and shit, water breathers. It's not our fault you can't make fire. That's on you for not developing legs and getting the fuck out of the water.
Now, when they do get there, they are greeted by the sound of a Whaleodon song.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this Whaleodon comes up and sings classic whale music, which is, weirdly, it sounds exactly like What Is Love by Hathaway.
Weirdly, it's classical gas?
It's some of that, like, 1910s style party jazz. Okay, anyway, luckily, as this big whale with his big white hump sticking out of the water pops up, Admiral Ackbar is one of the very few people, even among the Mon Cals, who speaks whale.
Yep, he's like, oh, wait, I know what that Whaleodon's saying. It's a song that's like, hey, somebody help me, my shit's all fucked.
Luke, you don't understand. I speak the languages of all the animals.
All right. And I just love that he's like, he shows up here, looks around. There's a whale who's like, hey, there's a bunch of dead whales. And he's like, I will promise you I will do everything to save you. Oh, wise one of the Calamarian seas.
Yeah, and not only that, but then Luke responds to that by being like, oh, hey, Dr. Doolittle Ackbar. You tell him I promise, too.
You tell him I'm coming, and hell's coming with me.
Anyway, Trioculus in the next chapter. Thankfully, this chapter doesn't end on a cliffhanger, just on a promise to a Whaleodon. But in the next chapter, Trioculus has made his way to the secret underground or underwater Imperial base on Mon Cal, from which most of the hunting of whales is done.
Yeah, and he has a Star Cruiser that is also a submarine, because I guess they just needed to get a new toy.
I mean, it is not a very well-thought-out design to make a ship that is both a submarine and a Star Cruiser, because of of course, the difference in pressure requirements.
Yep. When I was reading this, I was like, wait a minute.
That's a lot of extra weight. That's why you don't really see a whole lot of flying cars, is because people keep saying, like, where are the flying cars? And like, we'd set aside the whole thing that, you know, people are shitty drivers and they're going to be even worse pilots, yes. But really, it's because the number of things you need to legally put on a vehicle for it to count as a road-legal car weighs so much that they don't make sense as airplanes.
Hmm.
That's the reason you haven't seen a ton of them, and they're only just in Popular Mechanics every fucking issue.
Aw.
Anyway, we find out that Dunwell is planning for Trioculus' arrival with a 30s turbo laser salute.
Yeah, and a military procession.
Yeah, and Trioculus is to be like, what the fuck? This is a secret base. Don't do that.
Why would you do that? Of course, we also learn later on this definitely isn't a secret base, because Admiral Akbar is like, oh, hey, look over there. It's that base where they process whale meat. We keep trying to shut them down, but they escape. I guess the base is mobile. What the fuck are we doing?
Yeah, they escape by just going into the base. Like, and then they yell base.
Damn, they're safe.
They're safe. They're touching home base. There's nothing we could do.
Damn these rules of ours.
If only little kids playing tag had not been the forefront of our society. Unfortunately, we didn't get to see R2 talk for a while, but luckily there's some onomatopoeia here to let you know what the door opening to the underwater facility is, which is just grong.
Indeed.
And here comes Dunwell for the first time. Dunwell is a grisly old-timey Willem Dafoe-looking sea captain.
A most imperial welcome to you. No longer dark greetings. We already did that bit.
Mm-hmm. Now we're doing most imperial of greetings. But then, Trioculus notices that Dunwell is staring, as if he is repulsed by Trioculus's weird third eye.
Which, dude, this is a base entirely staffed by Aqualish. I doubt he gives a fuck. He's like,
I look at
butt-face walruses all day. I don't think a dude with a third eye is really going to be like, ooh, how weird and gross.
Especially when canonically Aqualish come in two- and four-eyed varieties.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
So really, he's just seeing someone that, for him, has an average number of eyes.
Hey, look, you've got the median number of eyes.
Oh, you're the regular American eye-haver.
You've got 2.5 eyes and a picket fence on your shoulders.
That's right. Hey, I'd like to introduce you to my 2.63 children.
Okay. Anyway, so yes.
He's still unwilling to divulge why the fuck Trioculus is driven all this way.
He's like, you gotta come with me to my office. Anyway, my office is on the other side, so we're gonna have to take a quick tour through my Whaleodon processing unit. I'm sure it'll be fine, and it won't smell like horrid rotting balls for you to walk past these dead whales that we are skinning and gutting.
Yeah, and there's actually a picture in here of a whale with its skin being cut off.
Yes, indeed.
So that's pretty fascinating. And a bunch of Aqualish in the background just kind of looking like weird scientists. But yeah, they take a tour through the facility, staying up on the high ramp and looking at the whales being cut apart. And they establish that the Aqualish are basically just dumb assholes.
Oh, yeah. In this, they decided, yeah, Aqualish are all just brutish and stubborn and fighters, and they're mostly just bounty hunters or mercenaries or ruthless Whaleodon killers. Of course, we also have them here scrubbing them down and doing precision cutting and getting meat processing.
Mm-hmm. And it's not like Mon Cal as a planet didn't already have a couple of native species of basically bad guy races. Like, they could have just done this with Quarren.
They could have, but...
and.
That would require any thought.
Okay, so we finally get into Captain Dunwell's office, and obviously he's got a big view of a bunch of pretty fish and blah, blah, blah. But most notably, he's here to let Trioculus know that there's some wreckage on the planet's surface down in the water of the second Death Star. It exploded, and according to Moff Hissa, lots and lots of gravity wells and different levels of cosmic radiation and junk might have opened up a wormhole or some crap. Don't worry about it.
Something, something, black hole, something, something, asteroids, then it's here.
Yeah. and look at this, he says, and he has like an x-ray that he's taken of the chunk of Death Star that landed here, and Trioculus closes his two bad eyes and uses his third one good eye to get a good look at it. Oh my god, is that a glove?
My god, is it a hand or a glove?
And it's clutching a golden ticket to Willy Wonka's chocolate factory.
Ooh, only one ticket is known to be indestructible.
It's the indestructible one. Yes, Willy Wonka released 5 golden tickets, one of which was indestructible. So now he thinks he may have finally found the hand of Vader, and it's got to be a glove, because any hand would not have survived the explosion of the second Death Star, and some sort of bullshit hand-wavy travel through space and time to get here.
Yeah. God damn it. So yeah, they're gonna be off to the Valley of the Giant Oysters in order to find a big old chunk of metal with a glove in it.
Mm-hmm. And meanwhile, basically just Luke and Akbar are also getting ready to go to the Valley of Giant Oysters to find a chunk of metal with a glove in it.
Yeah.
Well, 3PO and R2 are going through a changing montage to get back into their regular clothes.
Yeah, we get, you know, everyone back into their regular golden stuff and spinny white and blue nonsense, and the droids are very happy. But I like that they're just like, oh, hey, so we sent them the news out to Mon Mothma about what we heard. It's time for whale adventures. Please board my ship that looks like a fish.
The whole thing about Kessel, we're done with that. It's time to get on fish ship and go on underwater adventures.
Look, we had one chapter that gave even the remotest shit about the plot. It's time for whale adventures.
Mm-hmm. If they want whaleodon meat, that means they have to destroy the ecology of calamari.
Yeah.
Chisnoops kajik?
D-sneak!
Yeah. He asks if you've seen D-sneaks. Those are too. Okay, so we actually get a full-on ecology lesson at this point as well, where R2 has to be like, hey, how come the whales are important? Ah, well, little one, you see, the whales eat the plankton, and without the plankton being eaten, it would overrun the planet and destroy our ecology. So, you know, whales are very important creatures, and we need to save the whales.
Yes.
Even the space whales.
Especially the space whales.
Okay.
But yes, and this is also where we learn that he knows exactly where the Whaleodon Processing Center is, but yet they're like, oh, we had a law against doing this, and it's illegal to hunt Whaleodons, but we just can't control Captain Dunwell. I'm like, why?
Yeah, and then they all get into a fish-shaped submarine, and they're heading down towards this lump of metal when they see a big hunting submarine pop up, and this is... We don't know it yet, but this is the submarine that currently has Hissa and Trioculus on it that's on its way down to the place, and I guess it's just doing some incidental whaling as it goes.
Yeah, I mean, they're already taking the giant whaling submarine, so, you know, when they see a whaleodon, they're like, all right, well, we've got a giant suck tube for whales, so, you know, fuck it, we may as well suck some whales.
We've got to suck whales when you get the chance. So, Luke and Akbar are making their way down there, Leviathor, who had been guiding them to the Valley of Giant Oysters, is just unceremoniously sucked into the vacuum tube of a giant ship right in front of them.
Yeah, and it gets Leviathor and, you know, a couple others. They're like, oh yeah, they just suck up whales into a big storage area, I guess. And they're like, neat. Yeah. This isn't what we were here for, but, you know, neat.
Nakbar's like, well, it's not even a trap. That's just what the whaling ship is supposed to do.
Mm.
But this is a sad day for Mon Cal. I'm sorry, for Calamari.
Yes. Oh, without Leviathor, the Whaleodons haven't a chance. Because, I guess... Yeah,
based on his ability to do anything that we knew of.
Yeah, he could sing to people, I guess.
Yeah. Well, the ones who can talk to the animals. Talk to the animals.
Yeah, and swim with the animals.
Mm-hmm.
And Hank Pym with the animals.
What, he like slaps the animals?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, he does.
All right. Well, anyway, we continue. Luke and Akbar and the droids continue to follow this whaling sub as it makes its way down into the depths of the Valley of the Giant Oysters.
Yes, indeed. And that's when they're like, oh, hey, you know what's weird? There's some fucking, like, shards of metal out here.
Yeah, yeah. They find some shards of metal out there, which someone on the sub has the bright idea to scoop up with a grabber claw on the submarine, and then Luke kind of requests that they get scanned, because, well, Ackbar does, because they're looking for specific types of metal.
Yeah.
So Ackbar's like, let me know, is there any phobium or snoopy-doop on there?
Yeah, is there denubium or phobium or blilblapium? And R2's like, goozes, beezes.
Which, of course, is droid language for what's what's denubium?
Not much. What's denubium with you?
You almost made me laugh.
Well,
anyway, it turns out that indeed it's 3% phobium and 6% dunium.
I like that this basically means that Ackbar, having just seen some metal on the floor of an ocean, was like, oh, this was the Death Star. I already thought it was. I just needed you to scan and make sure.
I mean, I kind of get it, because they did manage to learn over the course of 3PO and R2's little mini-adventure that this guy is looking for the Glove of Vader, and the most likely place for the Glove of Vader is wreckage of Death Star 2. So for him to be like, well, this might be wreckage of Death Star 2 if you know, if they're here and they're doing secret shit.
Yeah, and, you know, as we all know, something, something, black hole, something, something, asteroids.
He's just like, look, I was at the explosion of Death Star 2. That was my whole fucking job. And there were chunks of it that disappeared into something, something holes. It's a star phenomenon common to Star Wars lands.
So, yes, this now Luke realizes, he's like, oh, Death Star chunks. My goodness, they must be here for a glove.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, because the book has to hum right along, the next chapter just opens with Trioculus has the glove now.
Well, I mean, he has to go inside the big dumb garbage nonsense.
Yeah, yeah, he does. He goes inside the thing, and there's a big loud noise, and he looks around inside of the wreckage, and he has to use thermal detonators to blow chunks in it as he makes his way through.
And we get a picture of him in his cool water suit where he kind of looks like Lex Luthor's power armor.
Yeah, you're not wrong. But he indeed finds the glove just chilling in the wreckage, and manages to get it out of from everything it's trapped under and get a good look at it.
Yeah. I mean, it's very convenient that the glove is indestructible, because when they first said, like, oh, yeah, he was just thermal detonating his way into this thing, I was like, man, isn't that going to damage some... Oh, yeah, that's right. This thing is bullshit.
Honestly, there was no particular good reason for him to go in there. They could have just shot at the thing with underwater turbo lasers till there was nothing but glove left.
Yeah, but, you know, this gives him an opportunity to go out in his cool little suit.
Yeah, that's way more fun. But anyway, now he has the glove. Hooray for him. He's just going back into the escape sub with a glove, and Luke is looking at him doing it through his own submarine windows.
Yeah, and Luke has decided that Yoda once told him that, you know, he's got a fight and he can't avoid battle. So he's like, all right, I know we are in a tiny fish-shaped ship and that is a gigantic whale-eating submarine, but let's go fucking ram it.
I like his initial thought was, 3PO, is there a way we could just call him? Can we just call Trioculus?
Can we call him and just be prisoners?
I would be like, dude, not cool. It would be super cool if you could, like, chill.
Hey, if we surrender, he'll just take us aboard. I'm like, yeah, that's... Ooh, you're dumb. You're real dumb. Don't do that.
He might, or he might just shoot you.
Yeah, if you contact him and go, hey, we're in the fish sub, we surrender. He's like, cool, lasers, open fire on that dumb thing.
So
four of the only people that exist in the Alliance is in that.
Yeah, so instead of doing that, they accelerate wildly and dive right towards the submarine.
Yes. Now, as they're going towards it, they, I guess they lose power because going fast fucks up fish subs?
Oh yeah, obviously.
Yeah.
So we get a bunch of stuff about how 3PO has to push a big red knob and or yank on it. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
There's a part where he's like, 3PO, push my big red knob. 3PO, yank hard.
Look, if you just keep that knob steady rolling, just give it about a minute. There we go.
You know, you don't have to use the sort of language. I am fluent in over 6 million forms of jacking you off.
I am fully functional.
This is just why I have human hands.
B- Beseech Chinooch.
Chinooch is like straight up a Kevin Smith thing.
Oh, yeah. Beseechy Chinooch is my scooches.
I am the Clit Commander. All right.
But while they're going, they pass by a giant fucking squid. Like, just a giant squid. They didn't even make it, like, a squidodon. It's just a squid.
Yeah, it's just a giant squid, which, you know, ultimately is a pretty interesting discovery. But lucky for them, the squid just activates the whale suckers on the side of the submarine, which sucks in the squid and also them.
Yeah, they're like, oh, hey, this is way better than, you know, surrendering. We can actually sneak on board.
They should have just had their fish-shaped sub put on a whale costume.
Ah!
You know, by just ramming a whale full speed and then kind of hollowing it out and flying it from the inside.
Oh, yeah, obviously.
That's, you know, small sacrifices need to be made. All right, well, now they're on board the ship. They're inside of a big holding pool, and lucky for them, all the Aqualish are just dumb idiots, so they're just standing around playing Sabac.
Yeah, and they are not just, like, dumb idiots, but they must have had no dealing with the Empire before, because as soon as fucking Trioculus gets out there, they're just in his way, and he's like, hey, fucking move, or I will murder you, and they're like, eh, go fuck yourself, bleh.
Eat a dick, you three-eyed lunatic.
Like, what do they think is gonna happen?
Or four eyes good, three eyes bad.
You think they would know, oh yeah, no, we're aliens and those are Imperial guys. If we mouth off, they are going to murder us. That's what they do.
Yeah, and you'd be like, oh, that guy's got to be important because they normally don't even let non-humans into their thing. And here's this weirdo with three eyes and shoulder pads, a spiked. There's no way he's not an important one.
Yeah, but instead they're just like spitting at him and being like, nah, we're not moving.
So he decides, because Trioculus is a fucking idiot, and I was right in the previous episode, to put on the glove of Vader and use the power of the glove of Vader to force choke one of them.
Oh, Vader glove is so bad.
Well, here's a new thing that we get to learn about Trioculus. He doesn't know how the Force works. He thinks it's shit that was on Vader's equipment.
Yeah, he's just like, ooh, the glove of Vader will obviously mean that I get to choke people because he choked people while wearing this glove. And I'm like, what the fuck is wrong with you, my dude?
Well, that obviously that is how Vader works, but all of the choking technology was stored in his left, non-indestructible glove. It's a real shame.
Yeah, I love that he tries to do that, fails, then he goes ahead and shoots the electricity at them and just murders one of them while the rest of them run off. And he's like, oh, man, if this glove doesn't have the power to choke people, it's useless.
Well, no, it is indestructible. I mean, you could use it for fun shit, like, I don't know, putting your hands in lava for fun.
Yeah, but also, you know, Grand Moff Hissa has to be like, you do remember the entire reason we went to go get that was so that you would have a legitimized claim to the throne, right?
His declaration where he's like, why did I even get this glove if it doesn't give me choke powers? And it's like, because it's of the prophets. Remember Kadan and that whole shit? It's a sign of leadership.
I'm not interested in symbols. I want the power of Darth Vader.
Well, you know, Vader was a Jedi and you're not, right? I mean, that we talked about this. That's why you have cybernetic lightning generators in your fingers now.
Oh, yeah. Where we find out that he doesn't actually have Sith lightning. He has little electro generators in his fingers that got cybernetically attached to him, so it looks like he's shooting electricity, but oh, if he uses it too much, it could kill him.
Yeah. In fact, they tell him, you shouldn't use that anymore. After shocking that Aqualish, you've already used it more than you ever should have.
Yeah, you're only supposed to use it the one time to show off, and then just stop using it.
And you know what? Don't even worry about the whole you can't choke people with the Force thing. Luckily, this droid that we keep with us, MD, is very good at faking Force technology, or faking the Force with technology. So he's going to put little thingies in the glove that make loud noises that will incapacitate people.
Yeah, he essentially just goes like, oh, if you point at a dude with this glove, then it sends out a high-frequency sound that's so powerful to whoever you're pointing at, it makes their eardrums explode and their brains disintegrate. And it says just like Darth Vader was able to do with his natural power. I'm like, Vader didn't. He choked people. He didn't melt their brains.
It's just so weird. I love the idea that this one droid's like, oh yeah, of course I can build fake force technology. Don't worry about it. That's what droids do. That's why everyone in the galaxy is running around shooting lightning out of their hands and force choking people.
Yeah, I was gonna say, man, if you have the technology to be like, oh, I just made a super tiny, able to fit in a glove with your hand still in it technology to have a pointable, undetectable, hypersonic brain melter. We're not going to give it to anybody, though. That's not the type of technology we would like to give to troopers or soldiers or even spies or tinkers or tailors.
Yeah. No, this is very unusual, where Hiss has to be like, look, here's the deal. We agreed when I gave you your superpowered finger lasers and whatever, that you were going to pretend to be a Dark Lord and go along with the whole technology thing. So, you know, like, because obviously I needed a three-eyed guy, because this is great, because the Emperor actually does have a secret three-eyed son, but he's too crazy to be in charge of the Empire, so you're my next best guy.
That's right. Triclops is so crazy.
I went through a whole bunch of guys with tri-themed names before we got to you. Don't even get me started on what was wrong with tri-balls. And he was like, no, I have three eyes, and I have three eyeballs. Tri-balls, you get it? Tri-balls. Also, I have three balls. I don't know if that's important. But would you like to see my three balls? And they're like, no, get out of here. Get out of here, tri-balls.
Hi, I'm here to audition for the part of the Emperor's son. I'm Tri the Veal.
And over and over, guys with tri-themed names came in. Hi, we're the Tri Guys. We'd like to be the Emperor's son.
All of us together. We'd like to try to be the Emperor's son.
We're going to try to be the Emperor's son. Yes, the power of the dark side of the Force. Am I doing okay? Am I doing this right?
Dark greetings.
Dark greetings. Hey, kiss the cook.
Anyway.
Okay.
Luke and 3PO and R2 are like, hey, Ackbar, we're going to go get on this sub. You stay here and keep the motor running because, you know, you're a sad fish man and you're not going to be any use to me up there.
You're a sad-eyed fish fella.
Neither is 3PO, but whatever. I'm going to take him too.
3PO goes on the adventure. That's just one of the rules.
Yeah, it's in the contract. 3PO has to go with.
3PO has to be included in every adventure. It's the way Anakin built him. Okay, so yeah, they leave, and they're also making their way past, like, scared Aqualish and what have you.
Yeah, and then they run almost immediately into Captain Dunwell.
Mm-hmm.
And he's stroking it when they find him. And by it, I mean his beard.
Yeah, he's stroking his beard in thought. It turns out he is already kind of plotting against the Trioculus, because he's like, that guy can't be in charge. He's a weird piece of shit.
Well, yeah, he's like, oh, I bugged my own office, and mm-hmm. they apparently didn't check my office for bugs, so now I know that he isn't the son of the Emperor, isn't even a fucking Dark Lord, has no powers, and is just a big piece of shit. What can I do with this information?
And obviously, the thing he's going to do is go confront them directly and in person and just kind of expect that they'll hand him a big sack with a dollar sign on the side of it.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, that's what weird cartoonish villains always do, right?
Yeah. They don't concoct elaborate revenge scenarios.
So, yes, they run into him and he's like, who the fuck are you? Why are you on this ship? And Luke is like, I'm asking the questions. Look at me. Look at me. Yeah, I am the captain now.
Yeah, that's exactly what happens. He lightsabers the gun out of this guy's hands and then just takes over his mind with the Force.
He's like, you'll never get through my codes. R2 says, your codes are shit and you are shit.
That was great. The little belittling before the mind control where he was like, my codes were designed by the greatest hackers of all time.
I've spent 3 years on these codes. Yeah, R2 says your code sucks shit, and Vader's code he deciphered in 15 seconds, and you're no Vader, so eat a dick.
We deciphered your code on the way in here. That's not even a thing.
And then, you know, Luke assumes complete command of his brain and is like, yo, take us to a terminal so I can get R2 to hook into your dumb crap.
You've mistaken us from your enemies. I've mistaken you for me enemies. Take us to a terminal. I'll take ye to a computer thing.
Yar.
There's no good sailor word for computer.
And then, you know, as soon as they do get there, he's like, oh, wait a minute, hold on. You fool!
Yeah. And we get a whole bunch of really good R2 things here. We get Gaz Boop Dweet!
Yeah, Zungaloop!
Zoosh Bee Dwee!
God damn it, R2, I love you.
Zweech? Yeah, no, this is the best R2 ever. Okay, so basically, it's too late. Dunwell more or less gets just manhandled. And Luke is planning to basically open up all the hatches so the escaped Whaleodons can escape. And then he wants to set a self-destruct timer for the whole submarine so that it'll blow up after they've cleared landing. And they're like, I don't know, set it for 10 minutes or something. Let's do 10 minutes.
10 minutes sounds good. We can probably get the fuck out of here in 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So first thing, I need you to set the self-destruct for 10 minutes. Okay, now try and set them free after you've done that. What? You mean you can't?
Yeah. That's more or less what happens. Because the beginning of Chapter 7, the end of the book here, is, quick, R2, tell the Master Control to free the Whaleodons. After we set the self-destruct sequence.
And he's like, I'm having a bit of a time finding the controls for that. And he's like, oh, maybe we should have done an order of operations on this.
Yeah. Anyway, they're looking for a way to let the whales out when all of a sudden just Trioculus shows up. No stormtroopers, no Aqualish, just Trioculus.
Yeah, Trioculus shows up and he's like, ha ha, I got a glove now.
Trioculus has found us. We're doomed. Your droid has grasped your situation well, Skywalker. Now prepare to die.
Yeah. He shoots
Say hello
him.
To Oblivion, Skywalker.
He shoots him with the high-pitched sound glove, and boy howdy, does that, I don't know, do some stuff, but mostly...
Yeah, it kind of razzles him a little bit.
Mostly Luke just grabs Dunwell and puts him in between himself and the glove, but it doesn't melt Dunwell's brain, so I have to imagine that this glove is not quite as powerful as we were led to believe.
No, it just kind of stuns people. And messes with their head by playing a loud noise. And of course Luke's going to be immune to it. There's no more high-pitched, whiny sound in the galaxy than Luke himself.
Hey, you want to hear the most annoying sound in the galaxy?
Power converter! Yeah, so he's developed contact immunity to this and iocane powder over years and years of small amounts of self-dosing.
I have put whining into one of these wine glasses. You get it? Yeah!
Never go up against a Mon Calamari when death is on the line.
So yeah, they do at least manage to get the Whaleodons free at this point. And, you know.
Well, it doesn't quite work. The whole, like John was saying, the whole zapping Luke with the glove isn't really doing much. Because Luke just sort of breaks the glove and throws shit in the path of the old hypersonic beam. So Trioculus is like, fuck it, I'll just use my lightning fingers. And lightning fingers at Luke, who blocks a little bit of the lightsaber, but not all of it.
Yeah, he does get hit with some lightning, but, you know, there's currently alarm bells going off and all sorts of flashing lights, because this entire place is going to explode, and Hissa shows up and is like, hey, my dude, we should not die. Let's get the fuck out.
You think they just finished the job by just shooting Luke while he's writhing on the ground, but no, it's cool, because he's a cartoon bad guy, so instead they're like, yo, Palpatine may have let you escape, Skywalker, but I shall destroy you. You have my word on it. And then he just flees.
Yeah. He's like, well, bye, I guess.
Bye. And then they leave.
Yeah. They both run over to their respective little subs.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah.
Everybody escapes and all the whales get out. And then the sub blows up. Oh, Dunwell doesn't escape, because Dunwell makes it his way to the escape sub for Trioculus, and is like, "Arr, ye should let me on that sub with ya."
Yeah. He's like, oh no. No one will enter the sub before the supreme ruler of the Empire, the true master of the dark side. And Captain Dunwell's just like, but are ya though? Are ya? Because I thought you didn't need to rely on mechanical lightning powers or the glove. Oh, wait a shit. Fuck, I fucked myself. I'm sorry.
Arr, ye be not an emperor. You're more of a handsome Pete what dances for nickels.
And then, of course, Trioclus is like, great, now that you know my secret, you can die here. We're villains, you dumb idiot.
The captain goes down with the ship, stupid. And then, you know, Dunwell dies on that ship. There you go. That's the end of the valiant, salty Captain Dunwell.
Yes, indeed.
Mm-hmm. It's the end of his salty mission.
Emission.
What's up? Yeah. All right, well, everybody escapes. The end. Almost the end. Because first, before they can leave the planet Calamari and go reunite with everybody at Spin back on Yavin 4, the whales want to put on a show.
Yeah, there's going to be a big Whaleodon concert. And they're going to do, I guess, like, jazz and classical.
Yeah, they're going to play some jizz. They're going to play some classical. They're going to do whale opera. They're going to do some dancing. And Luke and 3PO and everybody have to hang around and watch whatever that looks like. Sadly, we don't get to see what a bunch of whales hanging around performing looks like.
Yeah, no. Instead, Luke is like, oh, I enjoyed that concert and all, but, I can't stop thinking about Trioculus being angry at me and saying he's going to kill me. Oh, I'll never forget this dire threat. Dude.
And then, yeah, there's this amazing picture of Hissa and Trioculus escaping.
Oh, I love that picture so much. It is the single greatest piece of art.
It's like some sort of little Frankenstein guy hanging around with, like, a hot dude with a spare eye, and they're both just like, yes, ha-ha, yes! Anyway, that's more or less the end of all of this. They do make their way back to Yavin 4 at the end, but it's just doesn't really matter.
No. Again, like I said before, they're like, oh, we can't go to Yavin 4. Imperials might spot us. Anyway, now that we've blown up a submarine on Mon Cal or just Calamari, it's fine to go to Yavin. We can just go there. Nothing will happen.
Yeah. And then the book ends with, weirdly enough, a glossary.
Well, yeah, you know, maybe you're reading this and you're like, I don't know what a Mon Calamari is.
Yeah, although, weirdly, Mon Calamari isn't one of the things that gets covered here. Akbar does, but Calamari does not.
Which is just weird.
Right? Yeah. It goes right from Luke Skywalker to Mon Mothma to Obi-Wan Kenobi.
So strange.
Very strange. Very unusual. We get more about the Valley of Giant Oysters than we do about the people who live on that planet generally. So that's the end of the first book in the 6 or 7 book series, whatever the series is called. I probably called the Glove of Darth Vader series.
Yeah, it's. I mean, it doesn't even seem to have a name.
I don't know. Maybe the name pops up in future books as they continue the legacy of these things.
Yeah, I mean, as far as I can tell from this, it just, there are 6 books, each with a different name. None of them have a, like, preceding title for the series, though.
No, you're right. I mean, if you look at the inside of the first page of the book, it just says, like, the Star Wars heroes return in all new trilogies that take up where Return of the Jedi left off. So I guess they're supposed to be 2 trilogies.
No, it doesn't say that, so that's fine.
My book says that.
No, mine just says, hey, be sure to read these exciting Star Wars books.
Huh. Mine, like I said before, when I bought these, I got 2 different versions of it. The one I have says, and I'm quoting, the Star Wars heroes return in all new trilogies that take up where Return of the Jedi left off.
Mine has literally that exact same sentence, except replace trilogies with stories.
Huh. How unusual. I wonder which book is newer.
Who knows?
But not enough to look into it.
No one cares. Least of all me.
Yeah, that'd be hard to figure out, and I don't want to. You know what I would like to do, John?
Fuck off. Go to Applebee's.
I mean, also, yes. I feel like if anything's going to finally kill Applebee's besides millennials.
Yeah. It's millennials with COVID.
Yeah, so who knows? But what I would like to do is go to Wikipedia, find a fun story about Star Wars, and come back and tell it to you.
I wouldn't, but I'll do it because I have to.
Really? You don't have fun making our fun content? I thought this was more of a hobby than a jobby.
Oh, I've got a hobby jobby.
Yeah, and I don't support it. Okay, so just if you would like to hear some of that fun bonus content that we do for the Star Wars show, go to patreon.com/systemmastery. At the $2 level, you get our Star Wars bonus stuff, which is, you know, more or less a weekly show where we go to Wikipedia, find stories that relate to the story we just read, and tell them to each other and to you.
Yes, indeedy.
We learn some incredible, silly things about Star Wars, like that Mickey Mouse is a canon Jedi in the Star Wars universe, and that Santa Claus is canon in the Star Wars universe, and that there's a villain in the Star Wars universe named Darth Millennial.
That's right.
All of these could be yours, and much, much more, at the $2 level on our Patreon. And also, it's probably a good idea for us to put a note here for regular listeners of Expounded Universe. We did this little mini-book as kind of a fun break, but we aren't going to do a wrap-up episode for this because there just wasn't enough content.
Yeah, we're just going to take a quick week off after this, in between the seasons. There is a bit of shipping nonsense with books during the pandemic, so there may be an issue with that.
It turns out it's kind of hard for me to get my hands on these crappy old used books when every crappy used bookstore is shut down.
Yep.
So I've been having a hard time coming into contact with some more. I mean, I have a lot of Star Wars novels, but I have a problem where I have one of a lot of Star Wars novels. So I'm working on it, and we're going to take a week off and hope that the next book arrives in time that we can get to work on that.
Yes. So we will see you in a couple weeks.
Yeah, that's right. That's how this is going to go. We're doing a little bye week, and we'll see you real soon. Until then, I sure hope you enjoyed this fine children's example of what Star Wars fiction can be. I bid you all dark farewells, and I've been Elan Sleaze-Boggiano.
And I shall destroy you, Skywalker. You have my promise.